I want to go ahead and let you know that I've had a bad cough for about 3.5-4 weeks. So this message is going to be sponsored by Hall's Cough Drops and Brawny Paper Towels. So if you don't get either one of those, look it up online. So today we're talking about new life in Christ. I thought new year, 2008 for some people, 2018 for the rest of us, that we would talk about newness, new life in Christ. You know what? What's one thing that we all do when we start the year? At least that it's all in the news. They tell us to make these resolutions, New Year's resolutions, and so that's kind of where I want to start today and talk about new life in Christ. We're going to be in Romans 6, verses 1-14 today. If you want to turn there, but it'll be a couple of minutes before we get there. But this is a new year, a new fresh for many, a fresh start for many of us. I know for a lot of us, we've had like sick kids, or we've been sick ourselves, so hopefully it will be a new fresh in your home, a new start in your home. I can't say new fresh start, whatever. So hopefully it's a fresh start in your home with well people in your life, not being sick with the flu. But yeah, who all, this is going to be a little bit interactive just to get you awake first. So I want to know, raise of hands, who all made a New Year's resolution this year? Okay, we're not that kind of congregation. Go ahead and skip all of this. Okay, just pretend like you make resolutions. Who all makes resolutions? Everybody, I like that. That's good. That makes this a lot easier. Otherwise, it's no good. Who all have made a resolution in the past? You've tried. How long does it usually last? Maybe a week? I sold a Dr. Pepper to somebody at the basketball game yesterday, and she said, I swore off Dr. Pepper for 2018. She made it 6 days. But she was doing it for Jesus because the money goes to Honduras, so it's all good. So they last a week, maybe a month. Has anyone ever had a resolution that they've set and it actually lasted like a whole year? Anybody? One? There's one, maybe two. So that doesn't happen very often. Some of the things that we resolve to do is to eat healthier, maybe to go to the gym. I think gym memberships are always way up in January. Maybe it's to spend more time with family or to make a little more money, work a little harder, cook at home more. Plenty of other things that make our lives better, richer, and fuller. And that's what this fresh start, a new year, is all about. So today I want to ask you, have you considered your spiritual life? When you start a new year, have you considered to reevaluate your spiritual life, your walk with God? Have you thought about what you may do better to walk with the Lord, or have you made some resolutions to grow in your relationship with God? Maybe some of us have. I know I have in the past. That usually means that we promise to read God's word more. We promise to spend time in quiet time on a daily basis. Maybe we say that we're going to pray more often, or maybe we try to actually show up to Sunday school on time, you know, that lasts probably a week as well, or attend church more frequently. What kind of promises have you made to God that will strengthen your spiritual life? One thing I know about New Year's resolutions, they hardly last. And the reason I bring all of this up is because our spiritual life is so much more important than just a weak promise that we're going to break. It's so much more important in our lives and the people around us, their lives. Our spiritual life, a new commitment to our spiritual life, is so much more important than all these New Year's resolutions we usually come up with. Also, if we're living a right life with Christ, our spiritual life doesn't just affect us. It affects our family. It affects those around us. It affects our kids, our coworkers, the people that we see in our daily lives. And it really should affect the world as a whole. As a Christian, you should be living your life in such a way that your Christian life affects those that you come in contact with. As Christians, we're called to live our spiritual lives out in the public for people to see and to hear and learn about Jesus Christ from us. So I come to you today with the challenge of making your walk with God more than just a New Year's resolution. Let's talk about making it a new way of living, a new life that causes us to change the way that we think and the way that we interact with others. We can call it a new life resolution if you want. So we're going to be in the book of Romans today. This is a very influential book in the Bible. It's written by Paul. I've talked about Paul in the past in other sermons, how he was kind of like the man. He was a big deal. He authored at least 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. So he was known as a great author, a very influential teacher. He was a pastor. He was a missionary, a church planter. He was even a little controversial to some, including some of the other disciples. Very influential person, Paul is. Romans is very influential in the Bible because it's known for its theological teachings, especially about salvation. I would say the most widely used method of sharing the gospel probably comes from Romans, called the Romans Road. Many of you have probably used it. Romans 3:23, 6:23, 10, 9 through 10, 5, 8, all these verses that walk you easily through what salvation looks like and is attained as a Christian. So it's known for its practical implications to live out salvation given to us through Jesus. But it's also known for its theological teachings. So far in the letter at the church at Rome, Paul has covered the need for righteousness. He talks about righteousness both for Jews and Gentiles. He talks about sins that we all have from the time that we're born. He moves to talking about justification and how we can be justified, we can be made righteous in the eyes of God through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. This is all very important. It's all very heavy theological issues that deals with our salvation, deals with our life as a Christian. And he continues starting in chapter 6, go through chapter 8. He talks about a new life in Christ. He talks about how we should be serving God with our lives. And he really makes it practical in these chapters. And then he finishes Romans with exhortations to Christians to be a living sacrifice. He just tells the church how to be a living sacrifice, exhorts them to live it out, how to use our spiritual gifts, and talks about our motivations as Christians. So today we're right in the middle of Paul's very important letter to the Romans, which is applicable to all Christians. It's important to understand that the Roman society is much like our society today, in bad ways and good ways. We live in a society where it's self-centered. We live in a society where it's about material possessions, what we look like on the outside. That's exactly what Romans was. Rome was also the epicenter of the world, really, at this time. Roads were built to make it easier to get to Rome. Language was taught so that people could interact better, and that came all out of Rome. I really think this book, probably as much or more than any of the others, can speak to Christians, especially in our culture today because they're so similar. So before we get into Scripture, I want to pray, and then we'll read Romans 6, 1 through 14. Father, I pray today that you would just speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would use me as a channel for the Holy Spirit to work through. Father, I pray that you would speak to the people of the congregation today. Father, I pray that you would challenge us to live a new life, to embrace a new life in you. And I pray, Lord, that you're able to challenge us, to move us today, to make a commitment to you, a new commitment to you, to live for you, not only for ourselves or for our families, but out in the world, out in the public. So, Lord, speak to us today, and Lord, I pray that you would just use me in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Romans 6, 1 through 14. It's a lot of verses, so we'll go ahead and read those up front. It says, "What should we say then? Should we continue to sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we, who died to sin, still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. For if we have been joined with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is free from sin's claims. Verse 8, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For in the light, For in light of the fact that he died to sin once and for all. But in light of the fact that he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its desires, and do not offer any parts of it to sin as weapons for unrighteousness. But as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. For sin will not rule over you because you are not under the law, but under grace. So just before this passage, Paul is teaching. This is written to believers, to Christians at the church in Rome. So this message is primarily for believers. Just before this passage, Paul's teaching on the doctrine of grace. And he talks about the fact that when we sin, we deserve death. I think most of us understand that when we sin, we deserve death. The Bible tells us that clearly, just like that. But because of our faith, when we become a Christian, because of our faith in Jesus, grace comes in, and it gives us what we do not deserve. He says the more we have sinned, the more grace comes in, and it saves us from those sins. But so Paul begins this passage asking the question, if grace abounds when we sin, should we keep sinning so that there's more grace? Of course, we know the answer is no. He then begins to explain how to live a new life in Christ. So instead of keeping the sins and letting grace abound more, how do we change that? How do we change our lives to be committed and devoted to Christ? Let me be clear. God does the saving, but because of our salvation, because of our thankfulness, because of our love for God, there are three things that I see in this passage that we must do as well. So as born-again Christians who have been rescued already from the depths of hell and are now living a new life in Christ, there are some things that we should be doing. Now is a good time as any to start a new life, start living this new life in Christ. Maybe you've been saved in the past, and maybe you just never lived it out, or maybe you lived it out for a time, and now you've kind of slipped away and want to start fresh in 2018. So this is a great time to do this. It's a new year. We have new motivation. We want new goals. So let's look at some things that we can do to live a better Christian life. Number one is that we must die. Sounds really harsh. We must die. This isn't some kind of cult thing. I did some studies of cults in seminary. And there was one where they actually like wore black pants and fresh Nike shoes and covered themselves with like this purple cloth, and they all committed suicide. Really weird. That's not really the death that I'm talking about here. This isn't some kind of cult message. This means to die to our old nature, to die to ourselves. Romans 3:23 tells us that we're all born sinners, that we all deserve hell. So there's two ways that we should die to have new life in Christ. First is die to self. We need to put away our own wants, our own desires. We need to die to ourselves. The Bible is clear about this point in several places. It's impossible to walk in the newness of life by the Spirit when we're constantly looking back at our old lives. Because if we continue to look back, we've not died to it. And we'll see some scripture in just a second, but I think this is so true, and I think maybe you've seen this in your own life, where if you try to make a change, you have to forget what's behind you, right? Otherwise, you'll never make that change. You'll continue to look back, continue to live in the past, and never move forward to what God has called you to. Some examples in the Bible, Jesus, he's calling his disciples to follow him. Luke 9:62, it says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And then also in Genesis 19, God told Lot and his wife to flee from Sodom and Gomorrah. He was going to save them from destruction. And he tells them to escape, to run away to a city. But Lot's wife looked back and was turned into a pillar of salt. And so we see, you know, where looking back is obviously a bad thing in those examples. And also Luke 17:33, Jesus is teaching to a crowd. He says, "Whoever tries to make his life secure will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it." So I think the Bible is pretty clear in teaching about our need to die to ourselves, to hang on to ourselves, our own wants and desires. We've got to release that. We've got to let go of that. We've got to forget what's behind us and move forward in a new life for Christ. Part of dying to ourselves is distancing our lives from our old way of living. Maybe it's stopping going to some of the places that we used to go. Maybe it's not doing some of the things we used to do. Maybe it's even not hanging out with people that we used to hang out with or surround ourselves with friends that we used to surround ourselves with. So there's a lot of change that has to happen when we die to ourselves. As a follower of Christ, we must die to ourselves. And it's important to understand that this can't be done on our own. Second, we must die to sin. So we die to ourselves and we die to sin. Paul asks here in verse 2, he says, how can we who died to sin still live in it? I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes breaking habits can be really hard. It's even worse when we try to change our entire lives, and it's impossible without Christ, and it won't happen. People have tried it for centuries to try to make their life better on their own, to do enough good to earn their way into heaven, to try to make a complete 180 on their own, and it doesn't happen. It's almost impossible. It never works. Especially as a Christian, it's never going to get you in a right relationship with Jesus. It never works. No matter what you may be guilty of in your past, no matter what kind of addiction you may have, no matter how long you've had it, God can and will forgive you of it. And this is even better. He will never hold it against you. In Micah, the prophet Micah, chapter 7, verses 18 through 19, says this, who is a God like you, removing iniquity and passing over rebellion for the remnant of his influence, of his inheritance? He does not hold on to his anger forever because he delights in faithful love. He will again have compassion on us. He will vanquish our iniquities. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. So we see here that God removes those sins from us. This is just what Paul is saying here in verse 7. He says, since a person who has died is free from sin's claims. As a Christian, when we have a new life in Christ, we are separated from those sins in God's eyes. So we must die to self, and we can only do it with God's help. Before we go any further, it needs to be understood that we still sin. I still sin. You still sin, probably, unless there's a perfect person in here, which there may be because you don't make resolutions, so you've got it all figured out. I don't make resolutions either, but so... But you probably still sin. If anyone here hasn't sinned since they became a Christian, you can go ahead and stand up and we can just worship you. You're probably the second coming. No? Okay. So it's impossible. There's a big difference in living in sin and committing sins. We are human. We're sinners. It's going to happen. But dying to ourselves and dying to our sin is a lifestyle change. But we will still sin from time to time, maybe even daily. Our job as a Christian in dying to our sin is to lead a life that isn't revolved around sin. We don't allow sin to take hold of any part of our life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. I think this is very important to understand. You're a new creation when you become a Christian. You're not the same person anymore, so don't live like that old person. Live in the newness of life. Die to yourself. Die to your sins. Secondly, verses 8 through 11 talks about that we must live. Just as Christ died and he rose from the grave, and he lives today, we have the gift and the opportunity to do the same thing, to die to sin and to live in Christ, to have a freedom. This is the good news of the gospel. This is why we're here. This is the message that we share with others, is to be freed from sin and to live in Christ. Jesus offers us life if we put our faith in what he did on the cross for us. Death in Christ isn't a punishment or a negative concept here. Death is a gateway to life. When it comes to Jesus, this is true, and it's true for our own lives. When we die to ourselves and we die to our sin, it leads to abundant life in Christ, and we're able to live a free life. This is a great truth that you and I can live in today. One commentary I read put it this way, and this is really good. It says, the cross was sin's final move. The resurrection was God's checkmate. The game is over. Sin is forever in defeat. Christ is the victor, died to sin. Christ the victor died to sin once for all and lives now in unbroken fellowship with God. So not only is this something to celebrate, it's something that we ought to live out. It's something that we ought to do on a regular basis. We can share this news with other people. As a Christian, you should possess a joy. After all, you're not a slave to sin anymore, right? You should possess a joy. People should see that in your life. You should You have a Redeemer who loves you and cares for you. You have a Savior who is also your protector, your provider. You have a God who wants a relationship with you, not to just watch you from afar. So all of these things are part of the good news. It's part of the way that we have life. We must live. All these things can be part of living, a part of what you share with others that you come in contact with. We must live with a new fervor for life, with new energy. We should walk in newness of life. There should be a dramatic change in our life when we become a Christian. Maybe that change isn't seen on the outside, but maybe it's on the inside. Maybe you're dramatically different on the inside. Maybe your desires change, or your wants, your motivations for living, your attitude. All that should change as a Christian. All of this change happens by the grace of God, through the power of God, and for the glory of God. So we must die to ourselves, die to sin, and we live and we do all of this not on our own. It's by the grace of God, through the power of God, and for the glory of God. So we must live a new life. Every bit of it should be new. This is very powerful. Paul just told the church at Rome that when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we are in God's eyes, nailed to the cross. And when we die, our sin nature dies with us. And we are buried in the ground, and God raises us back up, but leaves that sin and the old sin nature in the ground. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer bound to sin. We are no longer compelled to sin. We no longer have the desire to sin. So to live a better Christian life in 2018 or in 2008, if you're stuck in the past, we must first die so that we can second live. And then number three, lastly, we must submit and obey. Submit and obey to God. Submit to God and obey God's commands. This is the hard part. I think the others can happen pretty easily, but this is the part that's got to happen on a daily basis, to submit to God. To obey God. Paul tells Christians to not let sin reign in our bodies. We should not obey its desires. And this next part is really key. Paul says, do not offer any parts of it to be used as weapons of unrighteousness. He doesn't say, okay, keep this part of your life and allow sin to reign. He didn't say, just allow sin to touch these little parts of your life as long as you look good on the outside. No, Paul says, do not offer any parts of it to be used as weapons of unrighteousness, to completely clean the slate. Don't let sin in at all. Paul says here in verse 13, he says not to offer any parts, none at all. We are not to allow sin in our lives. Oftentimes we think that we have the big things under control, that we're good. You know, maybe you don't get completely wasted every weekend, and maybe you're not cheating on your spouse, and maybe all your business deals are all legal and legit. Maybe you use kind words to others, and maybe you aren't addicted to things that are tearing your life apart. You've got it all together on the outside, and a lot of us do. A lot of us put that image out there that we've got it all together. And everyone thinks they know the real you because you have it all covered up. But maybe today you're torn up on the inside. Maybe sin creeps in to little parts of your life. Paul didn't just say, let the big sins in. Paul is telling believers that all sins should be kept away from your body. Maybe your sin isn't something noticeable to the public or even to your family members. Maybe you think you have it all together. As a Christian, sin should not be even a minute part of who you are. So that includes your attitude, the words that you speak to people. Paul goes on to tell Christians not only to stay away from all sin, but to live for Christ, to offer your whole self, your whole body, everything that you are to God, to be used as weapons of righteousness. What do you think that includes? Weapons of righteousness includes telling others about the good news of Jesus. It includes being kind. It includes living the Christian life, even when you think nobody is watching. So don't let sin in any part of your life. Submit to God and obey His command to live a Christian life out for the public to see. So when you think of 2018 and you think of your life in Christ, living your life in Christ, it sounds simple to just submit and obey. But those things should come naturally when you die to yourself, when you die to your sin, and when you start living for Christ. So that's the challenge today, to submit, to obey. Even the little things, submit and obey in the little things. Don't skip over your spiritual life when you think about new beginnings for 2018. Make a new life resolution today. So we're going to close and we're going to have an invitation. And this is a time for you to make a decision. This is a time for you to join the church if that's what you feel God leading you to. This is a time just to pray over things in your life or others' lives. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you need accountability. Maybe you don't have this Christian life to start new. Maybe this is the day that you start new as a Christian to gain that new life in Christ. So this invitation is time for that. Our band's going to come up here and pray. We'll have some pastors down front to pray for you. This is a time of commitment and to respond to God's word. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you for your word, and I thank you for a new life. Father, I pray that if there's anyone in this room that's never committed their life to you, that they would do so today. And Father, also, if there's others in the room that maybe they've committed their life to you, but they're still allowing sin in. Like we just talked about, the Bible says not to allow sin in any part of our lives. And maybe we've got it all figured out on the outside, but we need to work on our attitude. We need to work on the words that we say, the things that we take into our lives. Father, I pray that you would use this time to change lives today. I pray, Lord, that as we start this year, 2018, that you would push us to submit to your will, to walk in a new life and to obey the commands that you have for us. So, Father, be with us as we respond now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
To the Lord this morning. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You are the part.
Deacons Jolie is going to pray for our time of giving.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to be loved by you. God, thank you for the opportunity for you showing us your grace and your mercy each and every time we fail you. God, thank you for the time of worship we've had this morning. God, thank you for Pastor Michael and his willingness and his share his heart with us this morning. God, I pray that you would just be with the time of worship. We give back to you what you've given us. God, I pray that it be used to glorify your kingdom in all that we do. God, I pray that we would just walk out these doors renewed with the Holy Spirit, and we would follow hard after you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Welcome to FBCOB News for January 7th, 2018. DNOW registration is open. Disciple Now is for all youth grades 6 through 12. Register and pay early. The cost is $60 through today, but will jump to $70 beginning tomorrow. All details can be found online at fbcob.org/DNOW. It is important to register early so we can be prepared with host homes, meals, shirts, and much more. your student will not want to miss this weekend. This year's theme is fearless, and it comes from 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Register for DNOW today. Wednesday worship will be held in the FLC Dining Hall this week. All adults are welcome to worship and study with us. Lead You will begin next week on January 17th. Lead You classes are centered on the church's vision: encounter God, serve others, and share hope. We also have opportunities coming soon to help fulfill the Connect People point. Please sign up in the Information Center or online today. Wednesday dinner will also begin next week at 4:45. We encourage every church member to get involved in discipleship in 2018. Attention parents. All parents of children K through 5 are invited to a parents' meeting this Wednesday night in the upper room. Details are being sent home by Pastor Daniel today. We are asking for full participation from all our parents with children in the children's ministry. See you Wednesday. We hope you encountered God in worship today. Invite a friend, and we'll see you next week.
Thank y'all so much for being here today. Continue to pray for the Israel team. They're coming home Wednesday night. And I got word this morning that we've had to have one of them in the hospital over there. So we need to be praying harder, y'all. But we do look forward to getting them home safe back on U.S. soil. Hope you have a great 2018. This was our first worship service together, and we're grateful for that. Let me pray, and after that, we will be dismissed. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time that we've had together. We thank you for your word and how it's been shared through Brother Michael. I pray, God, that you would bless us in these days. Help us to live for you and help us, Lord, to represent you well in our community. We do pray for our Israel team that you would bring them safely back home to us. And Father, just protect them and use them mightily for your glory. Go with us now. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.